for these lands, for the right to work on these lands, they were expected to pay a certain amount of money or cash or crops in kind or simply additional labor service. And this is what landlords most wanted out of them: income, labor, and to some degree, money and crops. In fact, it's worth saying that in many ways, 18th century landowners treated peasants, treated their serfs, very much like slaves, like we find a slavery in other countries, including the United States. And there are two important points to keep in mind here about this form of treatment. First of all, most estate owners tended to treat their serfs as by nature weak, morally weak, really almost childlike. In their own words, this is from the 18th century, peasants were said to be typically lazy, drunken by nature, debauched, slothful, immoral. And in fact, landlords very often referred to their serfs as children. And they argued that their morals were weak, they were weaker as human beings, they lacked the basic virtue of higher classes, and therefore they needed help from nobles, which meant control and discipline and to some degree guidance. And all of this resulted in what is often described as a paternalistic relation to serfs. If the serfs are children, the landowner is their father. And this had two faces. On the one hand, it often meant brutal, brutal control of these children, whipping them so often in public as a demonstration to others, usually stripped naked to further the humiliation, as a way of punishing in various infractions. Arranging their marriages was often done by landlords, figuring serfs didn't know how to properly marry. And of course, it's useful to get married and raise a family and have children because this adds to the labor force. They even made sure that they went to church, figuring the church would be useful for them. They treated them in many ways like children, even though we're talking about adults and even old people here. On the other hand, at least for nobles who considered themselves to be more enlightened in their relationship to these poor children, this paternalism also meant establishing, for example, schools for their serfs, hospitals, even teaching them to play music and to paint. And indeed, many estates had serf orchestras and serf painters, some individuals who became so notable and successful, they were even freed by their landlords, figuring they had outgrown their childhood. But whether a serf lived on the estate of some generous paternalist, or a total brutal tyrant, or for that matter worked for the state, or for the church, one thing was common to the life of every serf, every bound peasant. They were not free. They labored on the land that belonged to somebody else, and they were obliged to pay regular fees in cash, or kind, or labor, for the right to work on the plots where they grew the food that they themselves survived on, or raised the money to pay some of these fees. No less important, not only were they forced to work land that did not belong to them, is they were simply, as I mentioned, not free to move to another place, and indeed could be tracked down and returned if necessary. Now, peasants themselves found many ways to cope with these conditions. Partly they coped by creating a strong peasant community. Every village, every peasant village, and if a village was too small, they would combine with a neighboring one, formed a type of rural commune, as it's usually called, known in Russian as an obshchina, or a mir, a communal organization. And in a formal, structural way, this commune was made up of heads of households who would gather periodically and make all sorts of important decisions about the life of their community, in order, above all, to help them survive. To help them cope. They elected officials to take care of everyday communal business, and all the big decisions were made by a big communal assembly of all the heads of households, and in some communes, even women and children were welcome to come and even speak, though their voices were considered of a lesser importance than the male head of household. And indeed, they had a lot of decisions to make. Landlords, especially since so many of them were spending their time in Petersburg or Moscow or in service, and the state itself found it useful to allow the commune to take charge of a whole variety of important aspects of rural life. Tax collecting. The commune was in charge of collecting that poll tax from every individual serf that had to go to the state.